Okay, so I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 12. Now, brothers, we ask you to respect those people who work hard with you, who lead you in the Lord and teach you. Respect them with a very special love because of the work they do with you. Live in peace with each other. We ask you, brothers, to warn those who do not work. Encourage the people who are afraid. Help those who are weak. Be patient with every person. Be sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to do what is good for each other and for all people.
Great. We're going to have a bit of a think about those words that Catherine read from the Bible. Now, through the summer, we've been thinking about our letter, or Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica. Paul's been really thankful for the faith of the Thessalonian church. They believe that Jesus died for their sins and they've been brought back to God, and God's done amazing things through them. All the way back in chapter 1, in verse 9, Paul wrote this: "People tell us how you stopped worshipping idols and changed to serve the living and true God." Now, over chapter 4 and chapter 5, Paul's been teaching the Thessalonians about how to live for Jesus. He's been giving them specific instructions about what to believe and what that means they should do. Because following Jesus changes how people live, doesn't it? It always has done, and it always will do. Following Jesus means turning from sin and turning towards God's way. And the same is true for us today, isn't it? Jesus died for our sins and rose again to bring us new life. And so we can change how we're living to follow Jesus. Now, when I was eight, I fell over at my sister's birthday party and I broke my arm. Now, I don't think she's ever quite forgiven me for ruining her birthday party, but we can talk about that another time. But the thing is, I'm better now. I don't need to live like I'm still poorly. I can take off my sling. I haven't actually needed it for about 25 years, but that's another story. In the same way, Jesus has made us better. And so we don't live in the same way. I don't need to live like I'm still wearing a sling. And as a Christian, I don't need to live as if Jesus hasn't died for my sins, because he has. He's done wonderful things for us, and that changes how we live. Now, firstly, it changes how we act towards people at church. Now, it might be our Bible study leaders, it might be our Sunday group leaders, it might be our vicars or pastors. And this is what it says in verses 12 and 13. Now, brothers, we ask you to respect those who work hard with you, who lead you in the Lord and teach you. Respect them with a very special love because of the work they do with you. Now, this is where those choices we were thinking about earlier comes in. We need to choose to do these things. Our leaders are teaching us about Jesus, and that's really important. So we should choose to listen and to respect. Well, let's think about how that might work in practice. So let's imagine the grown-ups are all gathered together in a Bible study, and it's not going very well. You know, maybe someone's being really rude, maybe someone's talking over somebody else, maybe somebody's just disagreeing for the sake of disagreeing. That's not great, is it? That's not being respectful. So how could we be respectful in a Bible study group? How could we do that? What sort of things could we do? Any suggestions? Yeah, go on then. Yeah, listen, even when we don't agree. We want to listen well. We want to be respectful. We might want to be polite, be prepared to learn. We want to trust that they've got something important to say, don't we? Now, one of the things we should choose to do as Christians is respect. Now, it doesn't mean that our leaders are perfect. It doesn't mean that we can't disagree. But that is one of the things we're called to do. Now, over the summer holidays, we borrowed an audiobook of Black Beauty, the story about a horse. And at one point, it talks about horses wearing blinkers. It talks about how they keep their eyes on the road, the horse's eyes focused on the road, so that they're not distracted by other things. Now, the problem is that in church life, we sometimes think that church life is about wearing blinkers. We think it's about just me and Jesus. And so so I've got my my patent church blinkers just here. And so what they do is I come into church and I sit down and I focus on the front and I can't see anybody else. And the problem is that that's not actually what church is like, is it? Because as we were thinking about in that little video, church isn't about just me and Jesus. Church is about the people. It's about everybody. And so we need to see everybody. We need to see what Jesus has done, not just for us, but is doing in other people, about how he's teaching all of us. And that's what, so we need to take our blinkers off and see how we can help and encourage other people. And that's what Paul goes on to say. He says, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to warn those who don't work. We're to be busy. We're to be encouraging people. We're to encourage those who are afraid. If people are struggling in church, we're to help them. We're to help those who are weak. We're to be patient with everyone. We're to be sure that that people aren't paying back wrong for wrong, that they're living the way that Jesus encourages them. Christians are there to help one another. We need to take off our blinkers, and we need to see one another. We're to be like teammates on a football team or a netball team or a whatever team, encouraging one another, helping one another to keep going for Jesus. But this isn't just in church. This is in everyday life as well. Always try to get to do what is good for each other and for all people. Christians are to be those who love God and also love their neighbor, as Jesus said. And so that means we need to be looking around at other people, seeing one another. Now, I know this feels deeply un-British, but have a look around you. See who else is in church. Because actually, we're all in this together. And maybe there's people we haven't seen for a little while. Maybe there's people who've been away on holiday. But actually, we're all here together to encourage one another, to build one another up, to live for Jesus. So let's support and encourage one another. Now, at the moment, there are lots of protests going on in London for the Extinction Rebellion people. They're protesting about climate change. They're pointing towards something bigger. And in the same way, as we love one another and as we follow Jesus, both in church and in our everyday lives, we say Jesus is the Lord of our lives who calls us to live for him. He is the one who died for us so we can live differently.
Okay, we're going to have the second bit of our reading now. So it carries on like this. Always be happy. Never stop praying. Give thanks whatever happens. That's what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. Do not stop the work of the Holy Spirit. Do not treat prophecy as if it were not important, but test everything. Keep what is good. And stay away from everything that is evil. We pray that God himself, the God of peace, will make you pure, belonging only to him. We pray that your whole self, spirit, soul, and body, will be kept safe and will be without wrong when our Lord Jesus comes. The one who calls you will do that for you. You can trust him. Brothers, please pray for us. Give all the brothers a holy kiss when you meet. I tell you by the authority of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Okay, so I wonder if you can see at the front on this table, I've got a jug of water. It's just an ordinary jug of water. And I'm going to take some of Tesco's double strength, black currant, rich and berry sweet, bursting with 20% fruit juice concentrate squash. Now, if I add this into here, it's changed, hasn't it? I know that's not particularly remarkable to say, but it's not the same as it was before. Now, my question for you, has some of the water changed colour or all of it? All of it, isn't it? And if we were to drink some of it, would some of it taste of water and some of it taste of squash, or all of it taste of juice. Be some of it or all of it? All of it. Now, could we easily separate it out back into its constituent parts of squash and water? Could we break it up? No, we couldn't, could we? I'm sure someone with who knows more about chemistry than I do could work out how we could separate it, but it's not easy, is it? Once it's mixed together, it's completely mixed together. We can't make it unsquashy anymore, can we? And if anyone wants any squash after the service, we've now got quite a lot of squash left over. And that's a bit like what happens when we start following Jesus, isn't it? Because as Paul says to the Thessalonians, following Jesus doesn't just affect a little bit of our life, it affects all of it, absolutely all of it. Like the water that has changed to become squash, so all of our lives has changed to become and gradually becomes more and more like Jesus wants us to live, as God intends us to live. And Paul picks out four things that he wants the Christians to be doing. He says, always be happy. As Christians, we've been given the best news in the world, haven't we? God has accepted us, he's forgiven us, he's welcomed us back to him, he's helping us to live life the way that we should. And that's good news, so we should rejoice. We should never stop praying. Now, I don't think this means that we're to not do anything else other than praying. Can you imagine? You're sat at the dinner table and you're looking at this food that your parents have made for you and you think, I'd love to eat it, but I'm always to be praying. I'm never to stop praying, so I can't eat. No, that's not quite what it means. It means our whole life is to be affected by prayer, whole life influenced by praying. We're to give thanks whatever happens. Our lives are full of good things and bad things and or a whole manner of things. But God is in control. God is good. And so we can give thanks to him that what he has given for us is what he intended for us to receive. So we can give thanks whatever happens. And we're not to stop the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that God gives his Holy Spirit to work in us, to be helping us and growing us to live more and more like Jesus every day. That God speaks to us, that he has lots to teach us and grow us. So we're to constantly be looking out for the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I bought a new torch recently. Just get it from this bag. I bought a new torch, and it's run out of battery, hasn't it? It doesn't work. So I'm going to put some new batteries in. But what happens if I put the batteries in the wrong way around? It's not going to work, is it? Let's just try it to be sure. Let's see if I can work out how to do this. So put those in the wrong way around. Just do it like that. Put that in the right way around. Does it work? No, it doesn't, does it? Batteries need things the right way around. So if we take these and put these the right way around, hopefully it'll work. This is going to be the moment where I realise I picked up the batteries that are flat. And so then I'll just stand here looking like a bit of a spanner. There we go. That's the right way around. This worked when I tried it earlier. That's a shame. Oh, there we go. That's the one I missed. It's very important to have nice, straightforward illustrations when you're doing a sermon. It makes life a lot easier. There we go. Just like that. There we go. I can put a battery back together. The reason why Paul tells them, the Thessalonians, how to live is because there's a right way for us to live and a wrong way for us to live. Jesus died so that we no longer are slaves to sin, so that we can be freed up to live for God, to live the right way, the way that's the best way for us to live. And so he encourages us to do all of these things so that we can follow God, so that we can enjoy life the way that it's supposed to be. Jesus says that I have come that you may have life, have it to the full, that it might be the best that it could possibly be. Now, I guess some of you might be thinking, well, what about God's grace? This sounds like a lot like trying to be a good person so that God might like us. No, that's not what's going on here. This is God has saved you and so has freed you up to live this way. Jesus is the one who brings us to God. And Jesus is the one who helps us to live for him. And so as Paul finishes his letter, he finishes with a prayer. He says, "You need to, we're going to help you. God is going to help you to live for him." He says, "The one who calls you will do that for you. You can trust him." That's verse 24. You can live for him by God's power. You're not doing this alone. God is completely reliable. We can trust him. And as our song said, we can trust and obey, can't we? Now, when people get married, we give rings to one another. They're a sign of our commitment to each other. And that commitment changes how we act and how we think, doesn't it? It's a symbol of how we want to live. We don't always get it right, but that commitment is wanting to what we're wanting to live for. And the same is true for us as Christians. We don't always get it right, but we want to live for Jesus both in our lives and in our church. And so my prayer for us is that we'll go for it. We'll seek to live for Jesus more today than we did yesterday, more this week than we did last week, more this year than we did last year, supporting and encouraging one another to keep going. So let's go for it. Let's remember this is all done in God's strength, the one who is trustworthy, the one who will do that for us.